Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, today I am joined by my very good friend Nadia Mullay, and we have just been discussing stuff and I think that you're going to enjoy this episode. So for those of you who don't know, Nadia is a health and sensuality coach who guides women to sensual nourishment and embodied power by helping them to reconnect to their own body voice. She is immensely passionate about supporting women in their journey back to their embodied essence so that they can feel vibrant, alive and free again. I love that.
Me too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea if you like your bio, you know.
It's a good idea if you like what you do, but not everyone does, right?
That's true. I was actually just asked that yesterday by someone, like, hey, do you like what you do? And I was like, do I like what I do? I freaking adore what I do, or else I wouldn't be doing it. But it did take a bunch of career changes to get there.
I want to hear all about them, maybe, in the time that we have together today. I want to start by asking you what adulting means to you.
Oh, this is so fun, because, you know, adulting, like, right now, for those listening, I'm, like, in this tiny little, it feels like I'm living in a room, a temporary room that feels like being in the movie Elf. I don't know if anyone's seen that. And I'm like not particular, like I'm a generally petite girl. And like for me to feel like I'm living on the set of Elf means the place is really, really, really tiny. And I look around and I'm like, I feel like I'm still a student, you know? And so when I have a bad day, that could turn into a very spirally, like, okay, oh my God, you're still like living in a place that feels like you're 21, da, da, da. And then on a good day, I'm like, no, this is me being like a student of life and not having to feel like I need furniture and for some people, I guess it's like an actual home and mortgage. Like for me, it's just furniture. in order to feel like I'm progressing, quote unquote, in life, right? There is this standard of, if you're an adult, you have a, like in the States, it's a four, I don't even know it because I've never done it, but like a 401k, I think is what it's called. And
I don't know what that actually means.
I think that's like a thing that people in corporate jobs get, like where their company takes a percentage of their salary or something and puts it in like a savings account or something where you can't touch it.
Yeah,
and you can't, like, touch it, and it's not, like, maybe it is a retirement fund. Clearly, I have no idea, because I have never had that benefit. You know, people are like, yeah, this job and benefits. I'm like, oh, what are the benefits? Like, the only benefits I know of are, like, friends and benefits, but no, like, so basically, to answer your question, because I'm sort of just going around in circles, is that, like, there is no, I can see the version of adulting that was fed to me early on, you know, like I think at the age of like 23 or so, I moved to Dubai and I was like, okay, I'm going to be an adult. And like, I got this really awesome paid corporate job. And I bought my first car and I had like a housekeeper who came and cleaned my home all the time. And it was like, I was like, oh, now I am adulting. Oh, and I would go to the spa on the weekends, you know, like the adult things that people do. And, now adulting to me is so different, because it's about like really authentic adulting is a lot more about being so in integrity and okay with where you are, having home inside of you, knowing that even if you are in a temporary place for a minute where you feel like, you know, you're on the set of Elf, that it's really what's going on in your internal landscape that matters more than anything else. And so, yeah, sort of where I'm at with that.
Thanks. I needed that reminder. So I don't know what's going on in the world, but I just have, you know, those days, and I'm going to share this because why not? You know, those days we have a plan for your day and you look at it and you go, yeah, this is really reasonable. There's gaps and space. And actually, I've done a pretty good job of scheduling, eating and working and being human. And then from the get-go, none of those plans are adhered to. Like maybe someone doesn't show up or someone's late or the room you wanted was booked or you get someone drives through a puddle and splashes you. Like I've just had that day, just all day. And before this interview, I was like, I just need to pull myself together and be an adult. And we both laughed at that because I don't really know what that means.
Me neither. And we were talking about like, you know, sometimes I find that the best strategy is to actually throw a tantrum for like a hot second. And I think the key, so you nearly have to go into like full on like super childish behavior to then have a moment and go, okay, now I'm going to put my like big girl pants on and adult. And so to me, I mean, as someone who works a lot with the body and embodiment in general, I find that sometimes it's actually really good to get that frustrated energy out in a movement type of way, or in, you know, the way that emotions move through our body and alchemize can be either through actual like physical movement. It can be through breath. It can be through sound, so literally screaming into a pillow if that's what you need to do. And it can be through tears. So if you put those two, if you put all of those together, right, like what comes out? A tantrum, essentially, right? Like tears, screaming, and like punching a pillow. Jumping up and down. Yeah, that's like a full-on tantrum. So actually, you know, throwing a tantrum, as long as you don't spiral and get stuck in it, if you're doing it as a way to alchemize the energy from one of frustration or disappointment or rage or whatever it might be that's going on in, you know, from your day that's coming up in your body, sometimes it's just a faster, easier way to get that to move and to switch and then to go, okay, now I'm adulting.
I find that really interesting. So sometimes when I'm at the gym and I am working out and I'm training with a trainer and I'm doing a lot of free weights and kind of Olympic lifting type stuff at the moment, which I really love, but when it doesn't work or when I'm having a day where my body's like, dude, go dance or swim, like lifting isn't the right thing for you today, I will stamp my foot in frustration. And I'd never noticed it till Miles pointed it out to me. He was like, do you know that whenever something doesn't quite go your way, you have a little mini tantrum? And I hadn't even noticed that my body does it. Just goes, oh, and stamps.
Yeah, your body knows best and knows that sometimes it's, you know, even if it's a mini, like what you're describing is really a mini tantrum. Like it's a split second where you don't even notice you're doing it, but your body's doing it as a way to help move that energy. And so, you know, I think sometimes the trap we get stuck in is like, we go, okay, I need to put my big girl pants on, but then we like completely constrict the emotion and don't even allow for the space for the disappointment or for the frustration of how we wanted our day to go and how our day actually went. And so sometimes it is worth just like taking a moment to do the embodiment piece of it, move on, and then we can actually come up with solutions. Because here's the thing, right? Like what I learned very early on when I got into personal development is that essentially, you know, many times we are in a challenging situation and we find ourselves wanting to come up with a solution, right? So we just want to like, you know, get into like the very masculine energy of like, okay, let me problem solve this. And sometimes our body isn't actually there yet, isn't in a space to start to problem solve. But we skip a step essentially, and we move right into problem solving. And so what happens is then we are just like banging our heads against the wall and going like, oh my God, why can I not come up with a solution? And when I started to learn more and more about the nervous system, I started to realize, oh, what's happening is many times we try to problem solve when our nervous system is actually in a state of fight or flight. And for those who may have not have heard what that, you know, have heard of fight or flight before, essentially we have these, you know, we have three different parts of our brain. I'll talk about two that matter in this situation. One is the reptilian brain, which is the part of our brain that is specifically tasked for survival. And so it's tasked with making sure that there aren't any threats and danger. And our response when there is threat or danger or perceived threat or danger is that of, you know, fight, flight, and sometimes freeze as well. And so what happens is many times when we are in a situation where things start to like aggress our nervous system, and that could just be little things that annoy us during the day, because it's like mini versions of like mini like traumas. Essentially what happens is we go into that fight or flight because we perceive, let's say, the threat of, oh my God, I don't make my deadline, or oh my God, I need to, you know, if I don't get this done, or I don't hire this client, then I won't have the money to pay for rent at the end of the month, right? Like all those things will kick up our issues of safety, which is essentially perceived threat. And so many times we're in that hyper-vigilant, like fight or flight mode, and we go, oh my God, I need to figure out a solution. I need to adult. But the truth is that you actually need to take a moment to get yourself out of that place of fight or flight back into a place of homeostasis, and then transition from the part of your brain that's the reptilian to the front of your brain, which is the neocortex, which is the place that actually problem solves and comes up with concepts and speaks words and language and understands that version of thinking, and not the version that's just emotional. And so when we take it back to this whole idea of like, that having a little tantrum before you actually get up and find a solution, it's like, that's what's happening. Your body is naturally, through tears, you actually calm down your nervous system through movement, through breath, and through, you know, not initially the yelling, but then at some point you just calm down. So these are all ways in which we are instinctively, as animals in our primal bodies, we are letting our bodies lead us back to a place of balance, and then we can adult.
So I really get that. That makes absolute sense of what happens in our bodies. I love that explanation. Thank you for sharing that with us. I think there's so many of us who are like, I must not lose my shit. But actually, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it means that we can carry on and find a creative solution and a way through when things aren't going to plan.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the other key piece to all of this is from a mindfulness perspective. So, you know, for those of us who, this is why I think it's so important to have some sort of either embodiment or mindfulness practice. They're all really the same thing, where you get to, whether you're, it's a seated meditation, a moving meditation, certain breath exercises that you do, but a constant way, it actually can be even when you're walking, right? Like, and that's in a way a moving meditation. Like, even as you walk, you can take a moment as you're running your errands to really check in with your senses and check in with your body and, you know, just take inventory of where you're at. And doing that on a consistent basis is really good, because what it does, all of these different practices, whichever one works for you, is it really gets us to a place of mindful living and mindful interacting. And the reason that that's important is that we are able to sort of detach from what's going on some level, meaning you can still be in it and having the tantrum and really feeling all the feelings. And there's another part of you, because you've been cultivating this for so long in through seated meditation or moving meditation, there's another part of you that can sort of hover over your head and go like, oh, ha ha ha, look at you, you're throwing a tantrum. I don't know if that happens to you at all. It happens to me all the time now.
Yeah.
Where I'm in the middle of it and I'm like, okay, I'm losing my shit right now. So there's like nearly two people having a conversation. Well, one isn't. One is busy throwing a tantrum. But the other one is like watching and going, okay. And that's nearly like the adult in my brain, the adult in my system that goes, okay, I know this too shall pass. And she's having a moment over there. We're going to let her have the moment. And when it starts to spiral out of control, you know, I'll bring her back. And I can bring her back through breath, through certain things that I know will plug her, and by her meaning the little girl that's throwing the tantrum, can plug her back in. And I think doing that makes us all feel like we're legitimizing the experience of this little girl that's like freaking out over something. And we are also going, okay, but in the larger context of things, it's all going to be fine, you know? And having to be able to embody both of those things at the same time, I think makes it so much easier to go through those like ebbs and flows in life, essentially.
I really agree with that. Like, I really agree with that. I think, you know, some of the work that we did together really helped me to identify that there are parts of me and to have conversations with all of those parts of me without looking like a weirdo on the bus. Like, I can do it at home, on my own, in a controlled manner without, like, you know, being a weirdo on a bus. And, but also really learning to notice where I was making judgment on those different parts of me. And what's really changed as I feel like I've entered into some kind of relationship with my own adult is that I really do parent myself now. And so the adult that I have is sometimes more masculine and might be like this internal dad that I've got. And sometimes the parent that I'm parenting myself with is much more feminine and is much more like the internal mum that I would love to have for myself. But I get to be both of those for me now. And to me, that's really what being an adult is all about. It's like not expelling or cutting off or denying any of the parts of me and telling them that they are evil, bad, or can't exist, but just giving them space and going, okay, are you done? Is there more? You know.
Yeah, 100%. And I think essentially so much of, I'm not super familiar with it, but there's a lot of work in psychology that is around like parenting your inner child. And so it's something that has been around for a while and has proven to be incredibly effective. And when we think about, you know, how we would be with our own children, or if we see other parents and how they are with their children, there are times, like you were talking about the masculine versus, there's times where, yeah, the mom comes and is like really loving and like, oh honey, like tell me what you're feeling and the monster under your bed and da da da. And then there's times where, and it could be the mom or the dad come in with that, you know, more masculine protective approach of like, no, you need to hold my hand when we cross the street because you are going to get hurt, right? Maybe the kid is like, man, I don't want to hold your hand or whatever, right? Like, so there's just times where we have to go, no, I actually know better and I can do it in a loving, protective way. And then there's times when I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop everything and just indulge you. Mm. Yeah.
I think we talked ourselves into being adults again. Like, I feel like we started this conversation in a like, I don't want to kind of place, and now I'm like, oh, I could talk all day about this stuff. I'm much more present now, and I think that's proof in itself.
Awesome. Yeah.
I have been doing this thing with everyone that comes on the show where we've been talking about some pretty grown-up stuff and then ending it with some silliness. And so kind of doing a confession, as it were, of I'm an adult, but I wondered whether you would play with me. We'll just do one each.
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, so I'm an adult, but I love a good tantrum. And I'm going to do them more.
Awesome. I love that. I can send you some music for it. The soundtrack for your tantrum. It's part of what I do in life. Okay. So I am an adult, but I mean, this is so basic, but it's such a like shameful thing for me for some reason that I keep hitting up against is I don't have health insurance and I'm a health coach. I mean, I guess part of the reason why I don't, you know, knock on wood so far, don't need health insurance is because I do understand a little bit about health, but I mean, I also know how important it is to have health insurance, and I just don't have it. So there you go. That's one of those things.
I'm like, thank you for sharing that. And I agree with you around like the knowledge and stuff. Like sometimes that's the thing that keeps us from doing it. And I wonder whether there's a way of like putting money aside for an eventual, you know, like for in case you need it, but without giving it to somebody else.
Yeah, totally. And I've talked to many people about that option, because I've had, especially in New York, you know, health insurance is insane. I mean, it's like $800 a month. So it's like another rent. It's not just like, it's not like I'm not wanting to put aside a couple of $100. But something about, for whatever reason, New York in particular as a state is really, really expensive. And so a lot of my New Yorker friends have said, you know, they hit like 40 and they were like, okay, I need to get health insurance. This is ridiculous. What if I get like hit by a bus or like, I, you know, who knows what happens. And they would get it for like a year or two and then end up canceling it again because it was so useless for them. And they've talked about putting aside money. There's many ways of doing it. And I think, you know, as an entrepreneur too, it's like, it's challenging because you're like, but that extra money, like, first of all, I don't even have it. And if I do, it goes to like my taxes, which are like backlogged. I don't know how many years, like, you know, there's so many, again, talking about like the adulting stuff. And I think in the US in particular, I don't know if this is the same in the rest of the world. But there's a lot of, no one talks about taxes and how a lot of people have a lot of shame around not being able to pay their taxes because it's such a ridiculous amount. And so these are like adulting things too, that I feel like everyone, all of my friends on a one-on-one basis have told me that they have a lot of guilt and shame around taxes, but no one will talk about it collectively. So, you know, I'm just going to like plant the seed that I think we need to, this is one of those conversations that we haven't, that haven't really come up in our sphere that are really important to talk about, because a lot of people feel like, oh my God, am I the only one? And with topics,
definitely this is one of the topics that we're going to talk about. I have a couple of people who are going to come on and talk.
Amazing.
Yeah, because around money and around savings and around taxes and like all of this, like, should be doing and how to approach it maybe in another way and like yeah, just some different ideas on it. And
great. Well, I'm tuning in. I need to, I'm still like, I mean, I have a bookkeeper, I have an accountant, I have all these people. And I'm like, why can I still not figure this out? Why is this so, I'm like, and they all tell me the same thing. They're like, trust me, no one has figured it out. Like, it's not just you. Cause I'm like,
oh, but they also keep changing it so that we don't figure it out. Like, right. That's part of it.
Right. It's like your phone bill. Like, you look and you're like, why am I paying this much? And there's like all these random fees and you don't understand any of them. And then you try to call the company and they just, it's, yeah, this is the adulting stuff that will set you into a tantrum for sure.
But do you know what's really cool about this? And then I am going to wrap it up. But what's really cool about this is that those areas for you are complex. And for other people, the food stuff, like the amount of conversations I've had on this podcast so far, right, as we've been recording them, with people who's, I'm an adult, but are all to do with food, right? Like, I'm an adult, but I haven't cooked for myself all week, or I'm an adult, but like, it's the last thing I, you know, I just don't know how to take care of myself, or I skip meals, or I eat things I know aren't good for me, like all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If people do want to find out more about you and how they can work with you, or just hear more of your, you know, giggling, where can they go?
So my main online space is myname.com. So that's Nadia, N-A-D-I-A, Munla, M-U-N-L-A.com. And then you can also find me at embodydanceclass.com, which is a class that I teach around embodiment. And part of what we do in that class is throw a tantrum. So yeah, check it out. I'm writing all the time on NadiaMunla.com, and that's the best way to stay connected to me.
Fantastic. Well, we'll put all the links to that on the show notes, and anything else that we talked about that I think is poignant for people to have reference to, then we will do that as well. Thank you so much for joining me and for talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.